Lord, this is our prayer in our hearts. We know that many times we cannot really echo these words in our hearts, but we pray that you grant us that strength, give us that understanding, grant that the Spirit will move and speak to us so that really it is hard for you all the time. We thank you and praise you for allowing us to know that you are present in our midst, helping us to know that your promise is always true. You said that you will be with us, in spite who we are. And we are thankful to you, Lord. We ask that even as we offer this praises to you, offer this worship to you, we pray that it is from the depth of our hearts as we just sang, a heart for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say together, Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in a meaningful and refreshing time of worship. I believe there are Form 1s and Form 3s who have a class now. So let's just pray for them. Father, we thank you for these young people. You love them. You care for them. We pray that they will be rooted and built up in your word. We pray especially that this word that will be spoken to them will cause them to know that this will help them in the times when they need you, because your word is true. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. The psalmist says in Psalm 122 verse 1, when they told me, let's go to the house of the Lord, and I was so glad. So I pray that this will be so for you. And I know I will chuchok somebody this morning, but especially those outside. I do not know why you come to church. Huh? If you are coming to church but staying outside there, I think better don't come. Lah, huh? Can say that, huh? Pastor. Because Pastor not saying it, but I want to say it. Lah. And so if you are out there and you are still chit-chatting, please ask yourself, why are you in this? Why do you come to church for? Okay? Because this finally is what we are going to talk about in Haggai. It's about the temple of the Lord. If you are coming in, I'm not seeing you, so don't worry. All right? But I want to just encourage you. You know, the psalmist says, I wait upon the Lord. In Psalm 130, he said, I wait upon the Lord. And he says, I put my trust in your word. My soul waits for you, O Lord, more than a watchman waits for the morning. A watchman that is at night, they're just praying that morning will come, their duty is over. But you know, I pray that this will be your desire. I know that you have been reading this series that the pastor has assigned as we read through the Bible. Huh? If you remember the words in Revelation 1, I think it's verse 3, it says, blessed is the one who reads the word of this prophecy. Not only reads the word of this prophecy, but hears the word of this prophecy. Not only hears the word of this prophecy, but also keeps in his heart. Let me just add a little bit more, just the B part. Not only keep in his heart, but will do the word. I pray that this will be so for you. If you have been reading Zechariah, you should have read until chapter 12. And chapter 12, I think it's 12 verse 5, says something like this. You know, the people in Jerusalem are strong. Because why? Because the Lord Almighty is their God. Amen. Huh? The people in Jerusalem, they are strong. The people, I pray, in this church are strong. Because why? The Lord Almighty is their God. And as we go through this, Zechariah has got 14 chapters, but I'm not going to speak on Zechariah, even though it is linked in many ways to what I'm going to share with you this morning. But I want to just share that from the book of Haggai. Haggai is, if you don't know where it is, if you look for two minor prophets starting with the alphabet Z. So it's Zephaniah and Zechariah. And it is hidden in between there is Haggai. So don't look for it in the New Testament. You'll never find it. Okay, we actually know very little about this man called Haggai, except that his name is synonymous to a word or meaning called festal. Maybe he was born at the time when there's festival. We don't know. But even though was that his name was mentioned a few times, both in Ezra, in some other place, and the very words that he had written is also found in Hebrews. So it just clicked in some of the things that he was going to speak about. Now, a little bit of context so that it will help us as we read the book of Haggai, which we'll read in a minute. It's basically someone who is from the people from exile and now come to Jerusalem. Now, how does this come about? Okay, if you can just try to imagine after Solomon, year 1000 BC, the whole kingdom of Israel was broken into two. There is a northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom with 10 tribes and southern kingdom with 2 tribes. By BC 722, because the people did terribly wrong and did disobey God in every way, with each day the evil, the wickedness continued, despite being called the people of the covenant, despite being called the people of promise, despite being called the people of God. We have just read this from verse 5 of Zechariah chapter 12, that the people of Jerusalem are strong, but they are not strong at all. Why? Because they not only dishonored, they did many things. And two things that really disturbed God's heart is that they not only turned away from Him, but they went against all the commandments and they worship, continue to worship idols and so on. And so the Assyrians came in BC 722 and took them all away, destroyed them actually. Yeah, destroyed the whole place in the northern kingdom. But the southern kingdom carried on for some time, but then also came under the same kind of situation. And in BC 586, what happened was that God sent the Babylonians, which was actually in a number of waves. Finally, in 587 BC, they're all taken away to Babylon. And that's where we read about Daniel, etc. And some of the people who are there, and they are what people we call people in exile. Why? Because Jerusalem was completely destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The city was destroyed. And we all know that God has a way to just speak to them concerning the state of affairs. Why? Because His name is at stake. We need to understand this as we read Haggai, Zechariah, as well as Malachi. Because after Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, there will be no more scriptures, no more word of the Lord for something like 400 years before finally John the Baptist will come. So we need to understand that these are very crucial minor prophets. Haggai, Zechariah, as well as Malachi. They will give us an idea of what will happen and how God's will and destiny for this nation will be carried out. So if we can grasp something like this, it will help a bit for us, even in our context, in reading the book of Haggai. Another thing that we need to do to understand is that when they were in exile, even though they were people of God, they didn't have a temple, they didn't have an identity. They didn't have something that will call people and say, yeah, this is the house of the Lord. This is people who go to this house. Many years ago when our church was built, this building was built anyway, somebody rang me because they're just saying across the river. He said, hey, there's a big fire going on in Kayuara. I don't know whether it's your church or not, because it's really, very big fire. And that was something like about maybe 12 midnight. And I just drove, told I see I will come and just have a look. That time, you know, the other entrance is still all wooden planks as you come by. So because it's all jammed and there's the fire brigade, etc. So I just stood at the bridge there. And then I looked, no, it's not our church on fire. Even though maybe our church should be on fire. All right. But it's actually a cross. Then I said, eh, mana itu bangunan kena bakar? Said, sana, sebelah sungai. He said, just across. I said, not the church. I didn't say the church. So, which building? He said, yeah, there. Depan itu gereja lah. Depan itu gereja. I said, ada gereja sini kampung? Ada, you tak tahu kah? I said, oh, you tahu nggak ada gereja? Ya, itu bangunan besar sana. Nasib baik, tak ada kena bakar nih. I said, kenapa? So I asked him, I said, kenapa? Eh, itu baguslah. Orang itu semua tolong kita. And I was so rebuked and encouraged. I don't know how to feel. But I just pray that the people in the church will be strong. Because the Lord Almighty is their God. And that's the issue in Haggai. By the year 520, there was a change in Babylon where they were defeated and the Persians took over. And here was this guy by the name of Cyrus. If you read in 2 Chronicles, the last verse of 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 36. And then this guy, I mean, you know, it's really when you see, you need to see God in history. Then you understand. So Cyrus came up. He said, oh, you are such a generous person. Hey, all of you, you shouldn't be here. You should go back. You should go back to Jerusalem. Do you know, it was almost 70 years. God says, 70 years in Jeremiah. He says, 70 years you'll be here. But I will be with you. If you read in Jeremiah 29 verse 10. And he says, I will be with you. I will come and take you back. I will bring you back. In the meantime, he told them, settle here. Jeremiah gave an edict, or gave a letter, and told the people, don't keep pining. Because if you read in Psalm 134, these fellows all sitting there said, by the rivers of Babylon. Oh, I think of Zion. They're all the time, rindu, rindu, but they cannot go back. Because 70 years not up yet. But now, here comes this king who says, you all can go back now. And not only that, go back and build a temple. Go back and worship God. Wow, where you can get this kind of edict from a Persian king. And he says, I will appoint governors there. And every resource you need, I will provide. Wow. If you were one of those in exile and you want to go back, you think twice, well, maybe we should go back. And then he says, take back. All that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which is a lot of things, you know, gold, bowls, all kinds of things. And he said, take them all back. And they counted, if you read in Ezra, they counted every piece, you know. And said, these are the things that you need to bring back to the temple. So that is the scenario. Huh? So they went back, 520, and then they were all excited. These are people who have settled in Babylon. Many things have happened in their lives. But, you know, here they uprooted themselves. They're going back home. Going back to Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem was in ruins. Everything destroyed. Yeah, there were people there still. If you read, actually, there are some people who remain behind. But they intermarry with people. And these are the people who later on we will call them Samaritans. They are no more sort of thoroughbred Jews. And so they worship idols, other things and so on. Now why am I telling all this? Because there is a need for a background for us to understand why the message of Haggai is not only important to the people at the time, but it's also important to all of us, even as we think through the spiritual significance of the word of the Lord for us. And so when they went back, they were all enthusiastic. They started building. If you read in Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, wow, they were so excited. And then, even though the whole temple that Solomon built was completely, you know, destroyed, Andrew Ross, a splendor architect's dream of looking at this temple. Somebody said that if at that time of Haggai, if there's seven wonders of the world, this would be one of it. Because why? Everything was gold, gold, gold. If you read in early passages of 2 Kings, you read all the things that, and not only that, there was a time when the priests went into the temple, and if you read that, the presence, the cloud of God's glory was upon them. It was so weighted, the priests who went in, they couldn't do anything. They were just mesmerized in worship at the presence of the Lord. That's the temple. But it's completely destroyed. No more. There's no more. And so now they come back at the order of Cyrus. They say, come build this temple. Come on, build this temple. And so they started. They started with the foundation. And then if you read in chapter 3 of Ezra, and after they put up the foundation, wow, they were so happy. Those who were born in Babylon, they have never seen this temple the temple before. That if you read in Ezra chapter 3, then they were all saying, wow, praise the Lord, the God of Israel. His love endures forever for us and so on. They were all singing so loudly. But there were some old people who were there. I'm not referring to anybody. But there's some old people who were there. And you know, there's one whole group. Wow! They were shouting, crying, and praising God. There's one whole group all crying, weeping. This kind of temple. Wow, no standard compared to the earlier one. Now you can understand how all this, the dynamics of it and so on. And they were crying. And the scripture tells us that the praises and the crying were so loud, nobody could determine whether it's crying or praising. That's the start of it. And when they started the foundation, background to all this, suddenly there were opposition. Oh, these people, they've come to set up a kingdom again. Oh, these people. And so there was a lot of opposition and letters back forth and so on. And so here, the people in exile, they have started, but they stopped. And if you read in Ezra chapter 4, I think verse 24, it says that from that day, all work stopped. They couldn't do any more. Why? Because of the opposition. That's the scenario as we read the book of Haggai. So as they stopped, and for the next 16 to 18 years, nothing was done. Let's read the book of Haggai. Turn to your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you. I'm reading from the NIV. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you, for yourselves to be living in your panel houses while this house remains a ruin? Verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. The NKJV says, consider your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down a timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it. And be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin. While each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld the dew. Because of you, the earth its crops. Because of you, I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains. Because of you, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, whatever the ground produce, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people, because they have heard the voice of the Lord through Haggai, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai because the Lord their God had sent him. The people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message as an addition to all that he has said to the people. This is what the Lord says. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of who? Zerubbabel. Who else? The spirit of Joshua. Who else? The whole remnant of the people were there. And what happened to them? They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. I will just focus on chapter 1. But I will just give a brief outline. Basically, Haggai has got four messages. And these messages are all given in according to 3 dates only, or 3 days. And so it's recorded for us in 2 chapters. It's a very short message. God has a very specific word. And the whole emphasis is on rebuilding the temple. Rebuilding the temple. I'll come back to that. Then in these 4 messages, the first message is to the leaders. So you notice there are 2 leaders there mentioned. There is Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means this descendant of Babylon. Means that he was born in Babylon. Huh? And then there was Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. He is of the priestly line. And they all were in Babylon. Now they have come back. So there is the 2 leaders that will be referred to. Then there will be 2 prophets that will be also mentioned. It's Haggai. The other person is Zechariah. They are contemporary. And so the word of the Lord came, firstly, to the leaders. Number 2, if you read in chapter in verse 12, it is to the people as well as to the leaders, but basically to the people. The next word, the 3rd word, is found in chapter 2 of verse 10. It says, "This is the word of the Lord, and to whom? To the priests, to Joshua." And finally, the last word of the Lord is found in verse 20 of chapter 2, which has to do with the governor or the leader, which is Zerubbabel. So these 4 messages have significance in the course of the 3 months or more that this word has been given. And so the scenario is like this. The temple is neglected. And so for 16 years or 18 years, nothing has been done. And here comes the word of the Lord through Haggai. Haggai doesn't have dreams, doesn't have poetry or things like that. He comes very straight out. This is the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. And so, first 2 persons that he addressed to, Zerubbabel, you are the governor. He cannot be king, even though he is of the kingly line. Later on we'll talk about it. And Joshua. So there were 2. So he's a governor, he's on the political or civil side, as well as a priestly line for Joshua. And so this is what I want to talk to you about. The Lord says, these people, verse 2, these people say, it is not time to build the temple of God. It's not time. The time has not yet come. Another version puts it, the time has not yet come. Is it these people? It's very strange. Because a lot of times, whenever God writes, he says, it's my people. He gives identity to, but he says, these people. It would seem that there's a disconnect, even from the very beginning as we read the book of Haggai. There's a disconnect about these people. Are they my people? These people, they are the ones who say. What does the Lord, word of the Lord say? The word of the Lord says, and then these people say. There is a contrast of what the people say and what the Lord will say. So if you read the book of Haggai, it is a lot of contrast. It's about their house, my house. Okay? And so a lot of times it's like that. And so when we begin to read the contrast, then we understand and catch the word of the Lord to the people. And so in verse 2, this was the question. They say the time has not yet come for them to build the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord. Why is it significant? Because if you go back to the time when Moses led the people out, and this is recorded actually for us by Stephen before he was persecuted in Acts chapter 7. He says, you know, God lived in tent. That means the tabernacle. And round the tabernacle are all the 12 tribes. What is the focus? The center of the people of God is really the presence of God. The word tabernacle means that God tabernacle came to be with us. His presence is there all the time. By the pillar of cloud in the daytime, by the pillar of fire at night. And so as we begin to understand, in the understanding of the presence of God, they were fearful many times because why God is there. A lot of times yet, in spite the presence of the Lord, there was a lot of hanky-panky things going on. But whatever it is, that's their understanding. So the temple of God is at in the. And so as we move forward from the patriarchs right up to the kings, then here Solomon builds the temple. I know Solomon says you do not dwell in the buildings in a confined place, but because the presence of God needs to be among us. And that's why when you read what Solomon did, amazing things happened in the temple. That's why I say, is it time? They say, no, it's not the time. Why? Because there is a lot of opposition. See, all these people, they catch us, they write letters, they say we are not bona fide people, they give all kinds of things. Read that in Ezra. And so there was an exchange of letters here and there, checking all the records until finally it was confirmed. But whatever it is, here comes Haggai and Zechariah. Now, this is the word of the Lord. And that's why they say, you say it's not the time to build the house of God. Then what have you been doing in the last 18 years, 16 years? And so God says this. Can I say to you, even though you say the time has not come yet for you to build the house of the Lord, I want to say to you, then is it time for you also to be staying in panel houses? Read that. The next verse. In other words, if you read through that, if they give careful thought to that, then they begin to realize, yeah, for 18 years they have neglected, but they have concentrated on the self. And so the key thing about rebuilding God's temple or God's house is like this. Where is your priority? Where is your priority? And so then God began to tell them through Haggai. He said, you see what happened? You eat, tara cukup. You drink, you're not satisfied. And then you earn wages. What happened to these wages? It is like as though money put in a bag but got holes. Inflation, huh? Isn't it, huh? It's like that. Hey, Bible has got all this, huh? You put you have clothes but not warm enough. In other words, you have lived very dissatisfied lives these last 18 years, even though you have focused on yourself and not focused. So the Lord says, do you know why not? Do you know why not? Then in verse 9, he says, do you know the heavens, the dew didn't come. Not only the dew didn't come. Whatever you took home, I blew them away. The Lord is saying, I have allowed all these things, I've caused all these things so that you become aware. So the first thing that we need to know in the book of Haggai, in chapter 1, is that God has come to bring them to realize their problem and their mistake. And you and I need to understand this. What is your priority? Who comes first? And you say, but I got to cari makan. I have all this, I have this and so on. Many times when you need to be doing what God is asking you to do, just like the people from exile, they come here, they're supposed to build the temple, build the house of God. So that everyone around will say, this is the house of the Lord. The people in there are strong because Lord Almighty is their God. So that's what's happening to you. You've been living dissatisfied life. Do you know why? Do you know why? The reason is that my house is in ruins. In this case, we're talking about physical building. But later on, we want to go into what is prophetic and messianic even in this book. So as we look at that, and so what is the remedy? What must you do? Because the Lord told them, you have been living very dissatisfied and you're wondering why. We worked so hard. We left a lot of things in Babylon. We gave up everything. Now we come here, we're trying to build our lives. The Lord says, all these things will not succeed. You're asking me for blessing. Sounds familiar, huh? Lord, bless me. I need this. You know, I'm going for a job interview. I need it. It's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that, where is your priority? Who makes the decision? Who makes the decision concerning your relationship? Who makes the decision from the career that you're going to take? What is your priority? Okay. Thank you for the reply. Yeah. And I think that somehow, as you begin to understand this, what is your life, my life, built upon? We all sing, my hope is built on nothing less. He is my rock. Is that true? A lot of times we build our lives on sand. Every time I take a homegoing service, every time I just share something, I look at the box. For whatever you have done, you cannot bring it. The box is just you inside. You can stack it up with whatever you want to. It still doesn't matter. What is your priority? You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, he says it's like this. Everything that we do is just like chasing the wind. If our priorities are wrong, we're chasing the wind. No wonder a lot of things get. Oh Lord, but we pray, Lord, we ask you. We ask you to bless us. Lord, we cried to you. We fasted 7 days, you know. As so blessing equals to what you work for. Every blessing, we just sang that just now, is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Where is your priority? Where is my priority? It's the house of the Lord. What is this house of the Lord? We'll come back to that in a minute. And so this one, you look at verse 8. So this is what Haggai told them. This is what the Lord says. My house is in ruins. You have not returned to me. You have been so preoccupied with your own things. You busy yourself. While my house is in ruin, you can go back to your own house, panel houses. I don't want to say, bungalows. Wow. They really need to learn how to. But yet, they are dissatisfied. Yet, a lot of things they do, they don't seem to get it. And when we learn this lesson, so verse 8 says, Haggai says, go to the mountain. Or go to the hills. We don't know. Because in the time of Solomon, they use cedars, you know, the wood, panel wood and so on. So, but he said, go to the mountain. Obviously, they have been taking from the mountain already. They've been going up and down, going up and down. Now, do a different thing. Go up for the Lord, the mountain. Come down and build the house. You know, Haggai, even though he said only four times this is the word of the Lord, he's, I would say, the most successful prophet. A lot of the other prophets, they say, and then you read Jeremiah, read Ezekiel, they are stiff-necked. They don't want to listen. They still disobey, etc., etc. But here, Haggai says, go to the mountain. Come, go and take down the wood and come and build the house of the Lord. And if you read, what does it say in verse 12? It says, the whole remnant, the leaders, Zerubbabel, number two, Joshua, number three, the remnant of the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. In other words, they received the word. But they didn't just receive the word. They experienced something that was quite amazing because they realized the honor of God is at stake. And the last part of that verse is, and the people feared the Lord. When we read this word, it doesn't mean they all were so frightened, even though we should be. But you know, it was a chance for them to say, wow, God, you're almighty. Because that's what he has been saying, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Almighty. And so, you are the Almighty God. We realize that we've been doing our own thing. Now we have to do your thing. Meaning, we've been going on our own way. Doing our own will. Our will is not synonymous and aligned to your will. Hello? Does that sound familiar? And so here, they not only responded, they realized that this is what it should be done. For too long, 18 years or so, they have not done anything. And then the scripture tells us, they obeyed the Lord. They responded. Really, finally, rebuilding the house of the Lord has to do with obedience. Many years ago, I was in a I was invited to speak at a pastors leaders conference in Sabah. It was the height of all this Islamization. There were about 150 of them. And when I stood up, I looked at them. I was very disturbed in my spirit. I don't know why. I had a word in season. I want to speak to them. But somehow the Holy Spirit restrained me. And then I just said, this is what I asked. I said, I'm not sure what I should be speaking today, even though I have a word from the Lord. Can I see by show of hands, any one of you in your immediate family has already become a Muslim? Remember, they're all pastors and leaders. Every hand went up. Every hand went up. And then I just, my heart just fell. I was so distraught. And I look at them. I said, I have no message to share. You know what happened? I said, let's just wait upon the Lord. For 3 hours, we were in the presence of the Lord. And before long, there was screaming, crying. You know, it was really, in Bahasa we say, huru-hara. Really. Wow, there was such weeping. And I was just kneeling down, weeping together with them. We don't know what's happening, but God knows what is happening. And I began to remember the words of Haggai. As I was preparing, I remember that. Yeah, that was what the Lord says. These people say, it's not time to build the house of God. But it is time for you to be preoccupied with your own things. There is no passion for me. There is no passion for the things of God. There's no passion for the will of God. There's no passion to do what God has asked. And we have passion to say, Jesus, thank you for saving me, dying on the cross. With great passion he died. With great passion he suffered. I want to just bring this across to you. Because building our family has to do with also the same thing. It's not about building. It's about lives. What preoccupies us most is coming on Sunday, just Sunday, because we have to come. Because Pastor Ng say must come lah. And a lot of times when we are in a church, I was just in a church recently, you know, the people all sat right at the back, no, in front all empty. So I said, wow, how to preach like that? Can I go down there and preach to you? And you know what they said? He said, no, because we are quite old. The aircon here very cold, so must sit at the back. I said, why don't we turn off the aircon and you come with a friend? You know, there's so much of this kind of thing. So much about all the small things, even in the house of God. We come. Do we really want to worship God, or are we just going through the whole motion? You say, I wait for you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, consume me. Is that what it is? Because it is, well, finally, in comparison, your house, my house, the Lord says. What is it? And so when they responded, if you read in verse 14, see, when they responded, verse 13 says, the Lord says, I will be with you. A lot of times when we pray, we want blessing, we answer, then God says, you don't need, I will be with you. Huh? Just like that. Huh? I will be with you. Come on, if you ask for blessing and you get God, wow. He can do everything for you. I will be with you. That's number one. Number two, the Lord stirred up their hearts. They need this kind of motivation. No, they need the conviction. They need to be convicted to say, yeah, we have been doing our own house. Now is the time to set aside all this. You notice that the dating of the book of Haggai is very accurate because he wants us to know the time frame. If you read in chapter 1, verse 1, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word first day. Then when did they start to do? In verse 15, on the 24th day, they waited 23 days. Maybe they need to do a lot of things to clear all these things. Now we put our hands to it. They need to reflect. So that's why twice the Lord says, consider your ways in this chapter. In chapter 2, three more times the word is used. Consider. What does it mean to consider? Take responsibility. Take stock of what is happening in your life. Where is God in your life? Where is His will in your life? Where is the work that you are supposed to do that you said, like Jesus said, my work, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish it. And I'm saying to you, if Sunday after Sunday we're just coming here, and actually many times I ask myself and I ask some people, so how was the worship? Oh, very good. So how was it? Oh, the worship team just led us very well. So on. Praise God for that. But did we ever ask, was God pleased with my worship? Oh, wow. Kena cocok. Was God pleased with my worship? Did He look at my heart and say that, hello, you're already planning things after this. You're not even here. And you say you want me to be here. You say I will be with you. The Lord says, I will be with you, but you are not with me. You're only just doing worship. You're only just saying prayer. After this, how to go for Deepavali lunch? Huh? Very susah. But it's true, isn't it? All right, let's get back to this place. Now, so the Lord says, do you know why this temple is important? Look at verse 8. Go up to the mountain, bring down the timber, build a house. Two things the Lord says, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. So when we come to this house of the Lord, there is only one audience, the Lord. No one else is important, the Lord. No one else is significant, only the Lord. We come like that. That's why I say, how do we come? Do we, just like the psalmist said, do we look forward to come? It's not because of the preaching. It's not because of the worship, etc. Even though they are helpful. But you know, it's about the frame. It's a heart. Solomon wrote this even though, yeah, he was a failure at the end. But he wrote in Proverbs 27 verse 19, this is what he says, you know, as water reflects the face. Maybe in those days they don't have mirror, I don't know. And then he says, the man's heart reflects the man. Wow. I think that's extremely profound. I'm asking myself and us, does my heart reflect? Because my heart, I say in John 1:12, as many as receive Him, to those who have believed on His name, who have the right to become sons of God. I'm a son of the Most High God. Does my heart reflect the heart of the Father? When you cheat, does it reflect the heart of the Father? When you lie, does it reflect the heart of the Father? When you lust, does it reflect the heart of the Father? When you're addicted, does it reflect? When you do things that are corrupted, nobody knows. God knows the heart. I wait for you, Lord. Is that true? And when I'm saying this, I'm saying to myself, I need, as I spend these 2 days just asking the Lord, going through the whole checklist, God, help me. Do I bring pleasure to you? Now, why do I say this? Because right now, you know, some years ago, I met somebody. I said, what's your name? Apa nama you? He's an Iban guy. He said, nama saya Ruma. I said, oh, Ruma. Bagus ini. And then I said, when did you come to know Jesus? Bila sudah kenal Jesus? Ayuh, dulu saya sangat, saya punya hidup semua rosak lah. I said, why? And he was a soldier. He got drunk all the time. He beat up his wife. And his wife all don't want him. His wives don't want him. And everybody called. I said, and your name is Rumah. Ah, ini sudah tukar lah. Sekarang sudah jadi Rumah Allah. I said, bagaimana? How? Oh, sekarang ini rumah siapa yang tinggal dalam sini? Oh, Roh Kudus. Bagus. Jadi tiap-tiap kali kita mesti sembah Tuhan dengan hati di sini. Rumah di sini. Wow. When I look at this guy, he's all the teeth gone already. He's smiling at me and said, ini rumah. Mana-mana saya pergi, saya bawa rumah Allah. Is that how it is for you, for me? Everywhere I go, I bring the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's house is in me. And so, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the church at Corinth is the most gifted church, and yet it's the most troublesome church. And then he reminds them in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, don't you know you are God's temple? Don't you know God's Spirit dwells in there? And whoever tries to catch out this temple, you know, they have to see me. Is that true? That's my paraphrase. But that's how it is, isn't it? In verse 17, it says like that. That God lives in us. His very presence. So what was the message of Haggai? Rebuild the house is so that the presence of God will not only be in the house, in my people, because my people will now obey me. My people will now fear me. My people will now be stirred and convicted and be passionate about the house of the Lord. So it's not about this building. It's about all of us going everywhere. In the marketplace, in the school, in the neighborhood, etc. We are the house of the Lord. Yeah. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He says in chapter 2, verse 19, I think. Verse 19, he says like this. You're all no longer strangers. Huh? You are citizens of the same country. You are no more aliens. Huh? Even though the word alien now has got different connotation. Huh? But you are fellow citizens. You are members of God's household. And then in verse 20, it says, you are a building. But this building will be built as a temple. And God's Spirit dwells within that temple. In verse 21. So as you begin to look at this, then you realize that, wow, this is how it works. Because now we are not only sons of God, we are members of God's family, we're the house of God, everywhere we go, we reflect the heart of the Father. That's it. I like what my friend, one day he was stopped by the police because there was a traffic offense. I'm not saying bad things about police. Huh? But this guy happened to ask my friend, he said, so, ada salah? Salah. Okay. So he tried to write the summon. But then he started telling him, kalau you selesai, tak payah bayar banyak lah. And then off and on, he kept. So my friend, he was telling me, but at that time, I already stopped by the police. I was so frightened already. Now this fellow says, selesai. So I looked at him and said, saya takut. I said, why do you say that? Yeah, really ma, I'm stopped by the police. I say takut. So, but he's not takut. When he starts saying, you know, he said, kenapa mau takut? Sekarang sini tak ada orang mah. You dengan saya saja. And then he said, saya takut oh. Saya takut Tuhan. Kalau saya sudah buat salah, bayarlah. Tapi bukan bayar kepada you. The police fellow, his face turned, my friend told me, he said, his face turned pucat. I was already pucat, he pucat. And then he said, oh, macam ni lah. The next thing he said, awak ini Christian lah. Then my friend said, macam mana you tahu? Okay, pergi. So when I drove off, I said, I didn't ask to be excused. But I asked to honor him. I didn't ask that I won't pay the fine. But I asked that the name of the Lord
will be lifted high, even in my mistake. And that's why, if you read in chapter 2, verse 9, it's so amazing. It says, the glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. What does that mean? They are not even building a temple that is any semblance of Solomon's building. In fact, after the building was done, people all said, "Ayo, this kind of building, wow, this," especially those who have seen this building before, the former building. And it is interesting, Zechariah recorded this for us. Because why? And Zerubbabel was the one who just completed, and then this is what he says. He told Zerubbabel, remember this. It is not by might you're going to do it. It's not by power you're going to do it. It's by my spirit. And then not only that, he says in verse 10, do not despise things that are small. Why did Zechariah give this word to Zerubbabel? Because whatever that is going to come, the temple, the house of God is no more in a building. The temple and the house of God is no more in an institution, organization. Nothing like that. It is in the hearts of men who will respond to him. Who will be like Haggai. Come and say, go to the mountain, seek the Lord. Get the wood, receive that resources and his will from him. Now work. Be in line with his will. Be in line with his purpose. Come on, folks. That's what finally this all is this all this about for us. Are we? What is our priority? What are you chasing at the wind for? Because I get to see young people, I get to see students in my earlier profession as a teacher and as a principal. And all the time I realize that really the parents are not doing the main thing. That's why we have these problems. Those parents who are doing the main thing, you have them, you see them, the main thing in them. We are in a situation of many things are happening, not only in our families, not only between relationship between husband and wife. You know, just recently somebody just called me and said, can you help me? I said, why? He said, because I don't know how to handle this LGBT issue now. I used to think that I could. Now my son is like that. Wow. I said, what happened? They say it's not the time to build the house of God. I say, is it the time to build your panel houses? Are you catching it? Do you know what it means for you? All around, yes, all around, is there the presence of the Lord? Because in awe, in fear, in honor, obeying Him means that. God promised, I will be with you. Because finally, when you read Revelation 21, I will be with them and they will be my people. It is in Genesis as well as in Revelation. Right throughout. That's how it is. What has got my job to do with God's will? What has my job to do with me being the house of the Lord? What has my job to do? And so that's why when you read actually chapter 2, there's a whole issue about defilement. Being holy. And if there's any handle that I want to just release you before I release this to you, before I finish, he said, be focused. Be focused on what God has asked us to do. Be focused on what God has done to our lives so that it will be in the same focus as God. I may have shared this before, but many years ago, I was privileged to go to the United States on government service expense. I don't want to talk about what happened there, but all I want to do is that it just happened that on the second week, I was there 3 weeks in Stanford University, and I turn around, my specs drop, and one of the lens drop, and it broke into two.
It's plastic. So I didn't know what to do. I said, wow, if I want to get this done in the United States, I would to pay a bomb. So I'm not going to do that. So it was almost evening time. You know, they close at 5 o'clock. So I went straight to the provision shop. Well, not provision. Anyway, one shop. I said, do you have any glue? You know, and the guy who was an Indian guy said, what glue you want? I said, glue to glue my specs. Then I showed him, said, oh, I can give you crazy glue. There's a brand called crazy glue. I also don't know. Huh? So anyway, I took it and I really put it, you know, right across here. So I went around. My eyes all the time tearing because, you know, the crack there. And everybody looking at me, hey, your lens cracked, you know not. I said, I know it's there. All right? They can tell, huh? All right? You want to go? I said, no, it's okay. One more week, I can go back to Malaysia, get it done. I didn't tell them, I'm very kedekut lah. So, but, you know, then by the third day, you know what happened? Well, my eyes still very good already. I got used to the crack, you know. But everybody went around and said, hey, your lens cracked, no? You know not? I said, I know. It's okay, one. It's okay, one. When you look at God with a cracked lens, it's okay, one. Is it time to build a house of the Lord? Crack, no need now. They say it's not the time yet. What did Jesus say in John 9, verse 4? Night is coming. No one works. So be focused. Take responsibility. Consider your ways. As God just tells me, my heart. And as I spend these, the last 2 days, really, the Lord just overwhelmed me and told me that, hey, it's not about the blessings. Because every blessing is given despite you. It's by His grace. Not by what I've done. Not by what other people can see what I've done. Is it time to build a house of the Lord? When you are in your panel, your time is in your panel houses. Can we respond to God? When the word of the Lord came, go to the mountain. Seek Him. Get the wood. Get what He wants to give to you and do His work and His will. What is it that you are so preoccupied that needs to be handed to the Lord? Or ask the Lord to set it apart so that you will be focused in what you are doing for Him. I'm not talking about just doing Christian service. No, I'm not talking about it. I'm saying about living the life that God has given to you. Many years ago, 5 young men in the 50s went to try to reach out to a cannibalistic group of people called the Oka Indians. Long story short, all the 5 young men were killed. Their wife continued the focus. Yes, they didn't die for nothing. They died because they wanted to do God's work. And he went again. Today, what has happened is like this. At one of the Congress of Evangelism, I cannot remember the year, stood there in the presence was this lady, was a wife of a man called Jim Elliot. And there was this short man standing there and pointing to her as she translated. I killed her husband. He died. But I'm alive. The whole conference was just mesmerized by the presence of God. Just like that. And this young man in his journal wrote this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. A Is that how we see the life that God gives to us? No one can take it away. We can only just give to Him. Let's pray. I believe God has asked you to consider your ways. Give careful thought. The days ahead of us will be even more challenging. How do we respond to His word? Is there a time to now consider, but not just consider, like the children of Israelites, those who have come back from exile, who are now so preoccupied with their own things. Now God says, consider your ways. My house is in ruins. What part of that house is in ruin? What part of that connected house is in ruin? What part of the things that God is saying to you is in ruins? Then He says, go to the mountain. Bring the wood and build my house. In chapter 2, He says, be strong, be strong, be strong, because my spirit will be with you. If there are things that you need God to build, that house of your relationship, that house of your family, that house of your place of work, that house that you are in the neighborhood, can it be said, the people in Jerusalem are strong because the Almighty God is their God? Maybe that's just your sensing. And you say, Lord, I just want to respond to you. And I want to just encourage you to just stand where you are. Maybe move to the front if you want to. Just kneel before the Lord. I don't think we need ministry. We just need you to respond to God. All right? And if you want to do that, you can stand where you can come to the front. The Lord just will speak to you and just say, yes, I will consider my ways. I will reflect on what God has asked me to do. I will be in His business, in His will and in His work. Would you want to do that? Stand where you are. We're going to close. I'm going to hand this over to Pastor Ng. Anyone else? I know God has spoken to you. Just don't look at others, because there is nothing to look at others. It's God and you. And you say, yes, Lord, this is my desire. I really, truly want to be the house of God. And be that house where emanating the amazing presence of God, which is not me, but you in me. I thank you, Lord, for all those who are standing. And I know that you know their hearts. Rekindle us in that passion for you. Passion for what you have done for us. Passion for what you said you would do. And passion to know that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray that, Lord, whatever is in their hearts, measure upon measure, you bring upon their lives. Measure upon measure, Spirit of the living God, you will just release it upon them. It's not going to be the same after they leave this place. Because, Lord, it is you. It is you that matters. It is time to rebuild the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is my desire, to honor you. All that is within me, I worship you. All that is within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Oh, make it true, Lord, in our hearts. Let's sing that again.
This is my
desire.
Not just desire. It's my, I resolve, oh Lord, to do it. I will fear the Lord, honor Him
with all my heart. I worship You. All I have within me, I give You praise. All that I adore is in You.
Let's sing that and offer the Lord.
Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul, I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me.
Oh, build this temple. Build this house in us, O Lord. O Lord, I give You my heart.
I give You my soul.
My soul,
dedicate yourself to the Lord.
I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me.
You've been standing in the presence of God. Look at the words. If you mean it, say amen to God in your own spirit. Say amen in God, the quietness of your soul. Asking God, the Almighty, who searches all our hearts, He alone knows what's in your heart. So give Him our hearts. Truly giving your heart, you will never be disappointed. God will honor those who honor Him. Yes, Lord, this is our cry. Take us. Help us to be focused on what You want us to do. Set our priorities in line with Your priorities. May our heart beat with Your heartbeat. Help us to have a godly unsatisfaction of where we are, until we find our satisfaction in knowing, obeying, and doing Your good and perfect will for each one of our life. This is our prayer. This is our cry. Hear us, O Lord. And God's people say, Amen.